الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
السلام على من لا نبي بعده على من لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولا يغتب بعضكم بعضا أيحب أحدكم أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا فكرهتموه. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, amongst the favors Allah has bestowed upon us, one of those favors is the favor of speech, the favor of the tongue. Allah Ta'ala specifically makes mention of it. علم القرآن خلق الإنسان وعلمه البيان. We have created human beings and we have granted him the faculty and the gift of speech. Wallah, the speech and the tongue is a great ni'mat of Allah. But amazing with regard to this ni'mat of Allah is the fact that it is what we would say a double-edged sword. On one hand, while it is such a great favor of Allah, to the extent that we cannot make zikr of Allah without our tongue, we cannot make our salat without our tongue, we cannot even become Muslims without our tongue. Because part of becoming a Muslim is twofold. One is to believe with the heart and to express it with the tongue. So on one hand, this is the ni'mat of the tongue. It can cast gems with regard to advising people, amar bil ma'ruf, nahi anil munkar. But yet this very same tongue, if it is abused, it becomes the seat of shaitan. All many of the arguments and disputes that we have within our community and family is because of the indiscretion of the tongue. Therefore, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has warned us with regard to it. It comes in a hadith that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, every day the organs of the body, they plead before the tongue. That please remain straight. If you remain straight, we will be straight. If you become crooked, we will become crooked. I mean, it's very easy. The organs, the body carries out commitments made by the tongue. So if the tongue goes and tell, for example, a woman whom you're not supposed to meet, I will meet you at this time, the body will follow suit because the tongue has given that commitment. So therefore the organs, they plead with the tongue, you remain straight, we will remain straight. You become crooked, we will become crooked. Therefore Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, man samata faqad najah. He who adopts silence, doesn't speak excessively, he would attain salvation. Because in excessive speech, you sometimes speak things that you are not supposed to say. And this has its own repercussion and consequences. Now, one day an inspector went to a school, walked into a classroom and said that, ask the children, why do you call the tongue and the language that you speak at home your mother tongue? No one say Gujarati, Urdu, Khoza is our father tongue. We all say it's our mother tongue. So the student gave an answer. से हमारे घर में अम्मी इतनी बोलती है कि अब्बा को किसी चीज कहने का मौका नहीं मिलता. The mother speaks so much that the father never gets a chance to say anything. See, now that is why it is known as mother tongue, but that's another particular matter. Now amongst those aspects, and even the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, kathratul kalami bi ghayri dhikrillahi qaswatul qalb. Even if you have to speak, maybe your position is such that you have to speak, punctuate it with the remembrance of Allah. Because excessive speech without remembrance of Allah becomes the means of the hardness of heart. Your heart becomes hard. Hard in terms of spirituality. And the furthest heart away from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that which is hard, which becomes hard by excessive speech. Now amongst the banes of this tongue and the speech is one which is very common, but yet very destructive. And that is ghibat and backbiting. And as Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا يَخْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. O believers, do not backbite one another. Because backbiting is a tremendous evil. As evil as it may be, one of the tragedies with regard to it it has become very common in all segments of our society. You know, to the extent that sometimes even in segments of the society which are regarded to be pious, it has also become common in that particular type of segment also of society. Then another aspect with regard to it, that together with it becoming widespread, it is sometimes not even regarded to be an evil. We just commit it, we just could do it, no one regards that he has done anything wrong. Therefore it is so important that we realize the consequences and what is as ghibat. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once asked, and let me start off by making mention of the definition. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day asked the sahaba, "Atadrur mal ghiba?" Do you know what is ghibat? Do you know what is backbiting? The sahaba said, "Allah and his Rasul knows best." And this is the best way to reply to something with regard to deen. Allah and his Rasul knows best. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Dhikraka akhaak bima yakrah." What a beautiful definition. To speak such a thing about your brother, if he hears it, he would be upset. Speak such a thing about your Muslim brother, if he hears it, he would be upset and he would feel bad. Now what does it mean? Firstly, say, speak something if he hears it. That means he is not present. This is the beauty of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's speech. Speak such a thing that if he hears it, he would feel bad about it. You see, so this is the definition of ghibat. Now it also covers one aspect that many a times you and I say, so what if I spoke about it? I am prepared to say it in his face also. If you say it in his face, it's a different matter. But even if you have the capacity and ability and you want to say it to his face, that's a different matter. But the fact that you have made mention of it behind his back, and if he would have heard it, he wouldn't have been happy, that is ghibat. Then the sahaba asked another question which you and I would many a time say, "Ya Rasulullah, what happens if what we are saying is true? We say a person is a liar and he happens to be a liar. Then what?" So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, then it is ghibat. Then it is backbiting. That is exactly what is backbiting. That what you say about your brother is true. Because if what you say about your brother is false, then that is slander, which is even worse than backbiting. That is slander. That is worse than backbiting. Backbiting is in reality speaking about your brother, which is true, but if he hears it, he would feel upset. That is the definition. In fact, if we take that definition, not only that definition, we take it a step further from the Sharia, even to insinuate, even to make a gesture towards someone that if he hears and knows about that gesture, he would feel hurt, that is also ghibat. That also falls under the purview and definition of ghibat. You sometimes make a gesture towards someone who happens to be a short person, and you make that lighty. Or sometimes you make mention with regard to someone, something wrong with him. You gesture something, and that, if he doesn't like that gesture, that also is part of ghibat. In fact, another aspect with regard to this definition, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, "Al-mustami'u ahad al-mukhtabin." Even to hear gossip is part of being part of backbiting. So if you hear someone speaking, you say, "I wasn't involved, these people were speaking about it." Now if someone speaks bad about someone, either you rectify it. If you can't rectify it, then walk away from the gathering. Because if you can't do that, one of the two things, then you are part of the sin of that backbiting. Now after understanding this particular aspect with regard to the definition, let me just also make mention of one other aspect that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, very similar about Namima. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, he would not enter into Jannah who engages in Namima. Now what is Namima? Something very similar, where a person just carries tale about other people from one point to the other, out of idle curiosity and out of, you know, just pursuit and pleasure. So I'll take this tale, I go tell that person, I'll take that person's tale, I go and tell another person, out of just mere idle curiosity. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that a person who engages in Namima will not enter into Jannah. Now, after understanding the definition, let us look at the harms with regard to it. One of the greatest harm, Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا يَخْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. Don't backbite one another. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ. Does anyone of you like to eat the flesh of his dead brother? One of it, to eat the flesh of a human being, is abhorrent to each and every one of us. What this is, with an aggravating circumstance, that you are eating the flesh of your own biological brother. Who would like to eat the flesh of his dead brother, biological brother? Allah Ta'ala makes mention that death is the equation And that is the reality of ghibat. Once in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, two women were keeping fast and they were finding it exceedingly difficult to complete the fast. They were becoming helpless. They were on the verge of dying. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called them. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, take out what, just throw up what you have. They started throwing up and they threw up, they had pieces of flesh that came out of them. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you are backbiting. Although you stayed away from other things with regard to fasting, you didn't stay away from backbiting. And this is the reality. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did it for the ummah to take a lesson. And our ulama say that when you engage in ghibat, you find it difficult to do good deeds. The good deeds become difficult. Like how these two women found it difficult with regard to completing the fast because of backbiting. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the occasion of Mi'raj saw people who were scratching their faces with copper nails. He asked Hazrat Jibreel, what is the reality of these people? Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam made mention, يَعْقُلُونَ لُحُومَ النَّاسِ وَيَقَعُونَ فِي أَعْرَاضِهِمْ. They used to eat the flesh of their next Muslim brother, meaning backbiting. And they used to cast aspersions on the honor of their Muslim brothers and sisters. This is the reality. Then another hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Al-ghibatu ashaddu min az-zina. Ghibat is sometimes even worse than adultery. Now you think, well, you know, adultery is regarded as evil by everyone, but no one regards ghibat as an evil. What is the meaning of the hadith that ghibat is even worse than adultery? Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the ulama have made mention the two reasons. One is, you see, when you do an adultery, aliyadu billah, Allah ta'ala forbid, it is amongst the worst type of guna a person can do, but he still realizes he has done wrong, he can still go and repent. When a person does ghibat, he sometimes doesn't even regard he's done wrong. So the tawfiq and the ability to repent doesn't even come into the equation. Another aspect with regard to it is that when you have done wrong in terms of adultery, then it is a violation of the rights of Allah. And with regard to ghibat, is a violation of the rights of someone else, which Allah won't forgive until the person whom you have backbited about forgives you. Now who's going to ask him for forgiveness? Many times we speak so much bad about people, we don't even know who we have spoken bad about. So where are we going to ask them for forgiveness? So in this context, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, ghibat is worse than zina. Otherwise, overall, zina is a far greater crime and a guna and sin than ghibat. But in this context, the two things that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, sometimes ghibat becomes even worse than zina and adultery. Now another aspect that we're going to look at is that part of this harm is twofold transfer of deeds. What happens in backbiting? Twofold transfer of deeds. Your good deeds go to the person whom you have backbited. His evil deeds are transferred towards you. That is why it is made mention of the great saintly people, including Imam Hassan Basri, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. They came to know about someone who was backbiting about them. They sent them a plate of sweet meat, barfi. Go, keep this. Said, why are you giving us this? Well, we heard you were talking bad about us. Alhamdulillah, you are giving us your good deeds. You are taking our evil deeds. A twofold transfer of deeds take place. Your good deeds go to your good deeds go to him, his evil deeds come to you. This is the harms. Now after understanding the harms, let us look at the reality. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it haram? Why such great warnings? One is, let us look at the motive. Why would people indulge in backbiting? Now there are several reasons. One is, someone has done you wrong or apparently something, so you seek revenge. Right, so you seek revenge, in that revenge you start speaking bad about him. Sometimes just out of idle curiosity, to enliven your discussion, enliven, you know, the time you're having around the bride, just to enliven that little bit of time you have over speaking over with regard to coffee or something, let us speak something, you know, juicy gossip that is taking place in the community. So idle curiosity. Or sometimes you regard yourself as better than that person, that's why you backbite him. You know, that's why you backbite him. And this is perhaps one of the worst, because Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't regard yourself as superior than another person. Don't praise yourself. Only Allah knows who has taqwa. You don't know whether you have taqwa or not. And what is the use of your taqwa if Allah doesn't accept your taqwa? Do you have any guarantee? Do you have any certificate from Allah Ta'ala that your good deeds are accepted by Allah? When you don't have that, who gives you the right to regard yourself superior to another person? Allah hasn't created us to regard ourselves superior to another people. Allah has created us for us to do our responsibility. So any type of objective you look behind it, it is absolutely futile. It is not a noble objective with regard to the motive why people would backbite another person. Another aspect is this aspect of looking out for the faults of another person. Because looking out for the faults of another person is amongst the major guna and sin. You know, and someone has written a kitab on this backbiting. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali said, guna be'ladzat. Sin without pleasure. You sinning, but you gain nothing out of it. No pleasure whatsoever. Now, it doesn't mean that if you sin with pleasure, it is justified. That doesn't mean that. But I mean, there are certain sins which make no sense whatsoever. If you take someone's thing and you're using it, although it's wrong, but you know, you can still see some physical benefit, not spiritual benefit. But I mean, ghibat, what type of pleasure is there in that? It's a sin without any pleasure whatsoever. It is only harmful. Absolutely not one benefit. Not from the material point of view, not from the physical or spiritual point of view. You see, now making mention with regard to the seeking of faults, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made mention that when you see the faults of another Muslim brother, first thing is, you should try and rectify it. The believer is like a mirror to another believer. The way you see your faults in the mirror, the mirror picks up your physical faults. You are supposed to pick up the moral and spiritual faults of your brother and guide him accordingly. Give him good advice. You don't know. Another thing is, you see, there is good and bad in every person. There is good and bad in humanity by and large. Now it depends what we want to seek according to our nature and temperament, what we will seek amongst humanity. You see, for example, Allah Ta'ala in this earth throws up good food, wholesome food, and you get trash. And the filth is also in abundance in this earth. Now it depends on your temperament what you're going to pick up. If your temperament is clean, wholesome, you're going to pick up good, wholesome food. Now you get the swine, for example. There's many good things, it doesn't pick up that. It goes and looks for the filth and go and eats that filth. So is there anything wrong with the earth? Or is it wrong with the person, what he is seeking? So when there is good and bad, it depends on your temperament, what you go and seek amongst humanity. If your temperament is good, you'll speak about the good of people. And if your temperament is otherwise, you go and seek the bad of other people. So it's not that it is good and bad exist in the humanity. It depends on your temperament, what you go and seek out. Another aspect is that Allah Ta'ala has gone to great lengths to protect this ummah in terms of concealing its faults. One of the aspects with regard to this ummah is Allah Ta'ala has protected and concealed its faults. Therefore it came last. This ummah, one of the reasons why it come last, Allah likes it so much, Allah won't make mention of its faults in front of any other ummah. That's why it came last. All other Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam's people, their faults we are aware of. Another aspect with regard to it, the previous ummahs, their charity, they used to place it upon the mountain. No one could benefit from their charity. They used to place it upon the mountain. If it was accepted by Allah, a fire would come and consume it. If it wasn't accepted, it would remain there. They couldn't use it and it had to be thrown away. Now, people used to know that, look at this person's charity is accepted and not accepted. Allah doesn't put this ummah through that trial. Allah Ta'ala say, go and give your charity, your niyat is with Allah Ta'ala. When Allah Ta'ala himself has taken such precaution to preserve the faults of this ummah, then what is wrong with this ummah that they go and seek the faults of one another? Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, لَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't seek out the faults of your own self. And what is the meaning is? The meaning of the ayat is don't seek out the faults of one another. But how Allah puts it? Don't seek out your faults in your own self, because to seek out the faults of the Muslim ummah is like seeking out your own faults. So therefore Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't look for faults in your own self. This is a very serious matter which sometimes we don't. There are exceptions. The ulama have made mention certain exceptions. I don't have to go into a long detail. Just to give you an example with regard to some of the exceptions. If someone does you wrong, you go to the authority to rectify that wrong. Someone stole your thing, so you go to the authority. This person did this to me. This person did to me. Try and rectify it. A second reason is, like, you want to help someone away from the evil. So you see a youngster doing something wrong, you go to his father and you tell him, see, I saw your youngster doing this and this. You're speaking bad about him, but what is the intention? To prevent him from that evil. So you go to someone who has an authority or influence over him to prevent him from that evil. Not to anyone, not to make mention of it in front of everyone, but to someone who can prevent that evil. Like for example, also to protect or to tell someone with regard to the harms of another person. Someone has got a new idea, he's written a book about Islam, and there are certain things that are wrong. So you warn the people that this book contains things which are against Islamic teachings. So you're speaking about the person, but you are warning the people about his harm and evil. Someone is about to get married, he comes to you that, do you know about this person? Then you need to tell him the truth. That listen, this is what I know about the person. Now in that situation, what are you doing? You are preventing the evil of one person over the other. So you're preventing and you're warning the people about the evil. Fatima bint Tais came to Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ya Rasulullah, I want to get married. Two people have proposed to me. What am I supposed to do? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, one of the persons whom you are asked about, very stingy. Don't get married to him. The second person, what I know about him, it is very famous that he beats up women. Stay away from getting married to both of them. What was it? To protect from the harms of another person. Lastly, we'll make mention, but these are exceptions rather than the rule. The rule remains, Allah doesn't like us to speak bad about other people. One day, Abdullah ibn Umar, someone came to him and said, you know, we heard that you are having problems with your wife. What's the problem with your wife? So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, how can I tell you the faults of my wife? I mean, I would be the worst of people to speak bad about my wife in front of other people. Anyway, that matter didn't get resolved. He divorced his wife. After he divorced his wife, the person came back and said, now you have divorced her. What was wrong with your wife? What was the reason you gave her divorce? He replied, how can I speak bad about strange women? She's a strange woman. She's not mine, my marriage. Why would I speak bad about her? This is no game, my dear respected brother. This is a serious matter. And it's important that we stay away from it. Otherwise, it has disastrous consequences for us both in this world and in the year after. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.